the more that people believe in it and the more that people, you know, put into it, then it makes it bigger and it causes more people to see and know about it so that they can help more.
Habitat for Humanity is a Christian organization, and we are like-hearted individuals who consist of staff and volunteers to help first-time home buyers get into a new home and have a decent place to live.
My name is Rochelle Childress, and the reason I applied for a Love of Habitat home was because at the time I was looking for a home and something that my money can really go towards. And for my, you know, my kids can have just a safe place and an environment to live and go on.
We had a lot of fun actually working on the house. We would paint each other when we were painting, just like little stuff like that. And then like with the kids running around, this is my room, this is mine. And then it, when we moved in, it turned out totally different. So we're like, do you remember you were going to be in this room? And so yeah, we've already been making good memories. My kids are kind of young, so we have like a while to enjoy the home together, like make a little family for me and my little family.
But I feel like my kids, they're so excited right now, and I know that like they're going to have so many memories there, like we're going to have so many memories together, and like I can just feel it when we go in there because they're all excited, jumping around, like, oh, this is my room, and we haven't even got the furniture yet, and they're just super excited about everything. So I know it's a great thing, it really is.
They don't have to worry about moving anymore. We know that we're going to be there until they go get grown or go to college. And my kids are just real excited because, I mean, I think they see how stressful I was working 2 and 3 jobs trying to pay for rent. And now I might be a little nicer.
The best thing is knowing where your money is going. You're paying for something that you're going to own and have for the rest of your life.
Yes, Habitat helps you get into a home, but it also helped me with other things in my life, like my credit, for instance, and just like different things like that. And I didn't know anybody in the class, but now I feel like Sabrina and Christy are like a small part of my family.
There's other things they teach you, you know, how to, what you're gonna need in order to have a home, building your credit up. There's different stuff in that program that helps than just getting a home.
I just wanna add that I don't think that this program would be possible, not just with like the people involved and like the people that are in charge, but with like God's blessing, honestly. Like I feel like He has a big part of it, and He brings the right people in and the right people around, and He searches for the people that really need it. So I feel like that's why this thing is just still going strong and probably will continue to grow very, very big. So.
Good morning. Here we are. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist. I am delighted to be here with all of y'all. I'm Cheryl Gallerno, the pastor to children and families, and I welcome you, especially if you are visiting today. We are honored that you took time out of your weekend to come here with us, and we hope to get to know you further. There's a place on your order of worship that you can scan and give us information about yourself if you want to do that, and we promise not to bug you too much. I am so excited about our upcoming Habitat for Humanities days. I love our partnership with them, and I love going out to work with them and learn how to do new tricks. And if you've ever been out there with Larry Landusky, you will learn all kinds of amazing skills. He is the best at it. So I encourage you to watch for our volunteer days coming up in the future. I've been gone the past couple of Sundays, took some time off to be with family, and I missed you all, especially last Sunday. We watched it in our car as we were headed back. You guys were talking about dancing and joy, and you got Pastor Jake to dance at the end of the service. It was one of my favorite Sundays, and I missed it because I love to dance and move and groove. So I am so delighted to be back here with all of y'all today. I hope that you have a wonderful service today. I know you're going to find something meaningful and beautiful to take with you throughout the rest of the week. Join with me now. Let's take a moment, take a deep breath, and let's prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you. And I invite you, if you will, stand with me for the call to worship today. I will sing about the wonders of your love forever, O God. I will declare that your love stands firm, that your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens above. Blessed are those who know you as their God, for they walk in the light of your presence.
God, we praise you. We honor you. You are our master. You are our only one and true God. Be with us this morning. Help us to sense your presence. Assist us to proclaim the goodness of your name. We love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Help us to be faithful as we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Some old faces, some familiar faces. I'm so glad y'all are here today. I have missed you. Do you want to sit right here? You want to stand with me? Whatever you want to do to be comfortable. We can stand together. I have an important question. We have an important question for all of y'all. How many of you, maybe you do too, have your lives all figured out from here until forever? You got video games forever. Yes. That's the best way to do it. You sit right there. You don't even have to move. Perfect. Okay. Love. Oh, so good. I want to be with you. Kind, to be kind for the rest. I like this. You guys are nice. These are good answers. All right. What else? What have we got going on for the rest of our lives? Yes. To be a gym coach. Perfect. You have it all planned out. Audrey. Happy to be happy forever. Yes. I love all of these answers. Yes, Jackson. To believe in God and to get you through the rest of this life. This is important. All of these things that we have planned. Now, I have this plan. I had this plan when I was a little bitty girl. I had it all planned out for my entire life. But I was going to be an airplane pilot. That didn't work out so well. I'm definitely not an airplane pilot. And I never saw myself standing right here doing this with you guys. That's what the coolest thing is. We have all of these plans for our lives. And God has a different plan sometimes for us, right? There's a song. I'm not going to sing for you today. This time, you're welcome. I'm not going to sing for y'all today. I sometimes do, and that's okay too. There is a song that I was thinking about as I was planning this lesson, and it's a song called Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's a very, very important, very beautiful song that we sing for church. And there's words in there like thy and thou and hath that you guys don't use all the time. And so this might not be the most familiar song to you, but in this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about how faithful our God is to us. And one of the things I was thinking, as at the end of this song, it talks about blessings. And do you know how many blessings it talks about in this song? One. Take a guess. One, definitely more than one. Two. Two, definitely more than two. Five. 100, there's more than 100. It talks in this song, last guess. 1,000. Oh, it talks about 5,000. Right? Did I say that right? 5,000 beside. Yes, 10,000, 10,000. Sorry, I wasn't singing. So if I was singing, we would have gotten it right. In this song, it says, "Mercy, blessings on mine with 10,000 beside." Okay, so here's the thing. In your path and in your life, the things that you think about, what's a blessing? What's something that's being loved by others is definitely a blessing. What's also some blessings we have in our lives? Any of you guys live in a house? Yes, there's a blessing. Do you go home and have dinner and lunch? Yes, there's a, do you have friends and family? Yes, we just listed about four. Do you think we could take the time today to get to 10,000? No. Oh, I don't think that they might not get to lunch today, right? If we got to 10,000, how in the world can God give us 10,000 blessings beside in the path of our life? Do you even know what's coming to you for the rest of your life with 10,000? That is the coolest thing. Oh, you have one. What is it? What's the blessing you were thinking about?
That you can be anything you want when you grow up.
He said you can be anything you want when you grow up. That is a perfect blessing, and that is what this is about. Yeah, and God can bless us more than anyone else because God has a plan for each and every one of us and each and every one of the. None of these people in this room out here have any idea what they're going to do when they grow up, right? And they're all going to be blessed more than they can even know.
And I have a gift.
You have a gift?
Myself with Legos.
Yes, and your build Legos is a blessing to others because you can show that off to people. Thank you for helping me do children's time. That's a blessing. All right, boys and girls, so for the rest of your lives, I know you have this path and I know you have these things in place, but I want you to accept and love whatever comes to you because it's a blessing from God, right? Can we pray together really quickly before we go back to our seats?
Yeah.
God, we thank you so much for helpers and for children and for this church. And we thank you for the 10,000 plus blessings that you have in store for each and every one of us. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, we're either going to preschool praise with Miss Donna or back to your seats.
Reading from Psalm today is Psalm 89, 20 through 21, 28 and 29, 34 through 37. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. My hand shall always remain with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. Forever I will keep my steadfast love for him, and my covenant with him will stand firm. I will establish his line forever and his throne as long as the heavens endure. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His line shall continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It shall be established forever like the moon, an enduring witness in the skies. The word of God for the people of God.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are so thankful and grateful for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness for wanting the best for us. And Lord, I pray for this body of believers, for this community, that you would wrap your arms around us, be with those who are hurting, those who are ill, physically, emotionally. Father, for those who are wounded. Father, we also want to praise you for all the wonderful things you do for us, for the victories in our lives. And Lord, more than anything, help us to honor you and bless you in return. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the ones to our right and to our left. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we continue to worship?
The second book of Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go. Do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I've been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be the prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make of you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. For the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all of your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. The word of God for the people of God.
Just a moment to breathe, to be still, to receive the wisdom of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the goodness of God, which is far better than anything I can say in these next few minutes. Would you just be still for just a moment to breathe? It is your voice we long to hear. Good and gracious God, may it be so. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here with us. Your face, your presence, your voice, gosh, you are a gift. What an honor it is to worship with you. If you went to Rolling Stones concert and they didn't play, Beast of Burden, what'd you say? Would you be upset, right? I don't know. I can't get no satisfaction kind of guy, personally. But if you went to Olivia Rodrigo and she didn't play Driver's License, I don't know. Right. So if you went to your favorite band, your favorite artist, musically speaking, and they didn't play that greatest hit, that one, that tune you love, you'd be a little bit perturbed. Yeah, maybe disappointed. Yeah. So for me, dynamic tension is a greatest hit regarding biblical interpretation. Okay, so each and every week we could use dynamic tension alone as a way to engage with Scripture, as a way to engage with reality, and I think we would be doing just fine. Dynamic tension, dynamic meaning, and this is what I believe. I believe the Scripture is still alive. It still dances, even though your pastor's awful at it. It still speaks. Earlier this week, I read through Judges 19 with a group of men in an early morning with awful coffee. And Judges 19 is one of the most horrific stories in all of Scripture. And yet it was still speaking. Yeah, dynamic. It is invigorated. These Scriptures are with a breath, with a spirit. Yeah, dynamic is alive. Yeah, dynamic tension. Tension meaning there's no resolve. There's no denouement. Yeah. Tension, the scriptures, and our God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit is big enough to hold tension. And I'll confess to you, my instinct often, in the face of tension, my instinct, my ego, probably my preference when encountering tension is to try to resolve it. And sometimes I'll tell a joke that's not funny, and that may resolve it. Sometimes I'll try to smooth things over with folk, and that may try to resolve it. And yet, I think if we were honest, tension really is our great teacher. Tension is our great teacher, and this is why it's important. I think we have a wonderful value here as a community, not to be a church of only Republicans. Not to only be a church of only Democrats. It's far easier, and as we look across the landscape of churches in the United States, it's far easier right now to be a church of young people. It is. And for all your ministries and for all your structure, for all that you offer to be catered to a particular generation, yeah, there's tension. There's tension when we make room for people of all sexual orientations. When we make room for those of you who are American football fans and real Christians who support, right? Tension is our great teacher. Throughout our scriptures, particularly in the Hebrew scriptures, there is this tension with regard to the monarchy. At moments, it seems that the monarchy is this pathway, as we just received through Rand's voice, who we're so grateful for her and for her ministry. As we receive this moment in the scriptures, in the Psalms, we hear David's line will be established forever. It will be a pathway of blessing to the whole world. And there are many moments, particularly in our Hebrew scriptures, in which the monarchy in Israel is celebrated as a pathway by which God's blessing and God's goodness is shared with the world. And there are many, many moments in particularly our Hebrew scriptures in which the monarchy is regarded by the prophets and even the voice of God as an insult, for they have chosen a human king and not the Lord to preside as king. And it is incredible, this tension our scripture holds. It holds the tension. And there are so many people, and maybe you are there, or maybe you have been there, understandably so. There are so many who have been hurt by religion, who have been hurt by the way that our scriptures can be used in unhealthy ways. So many who might say, the Bible has so many contradictions. The Bible has so many errors. Yeah. And in our unhealthy spaces, we might try to resolve that tension. In our unhealthy spaces, we might try to fix such sentiment. Yet, I think with the tool of dynamic tension, when we are emotionally healthy, relationally and spiritually healthy, we hear criticism like, the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible is full of errors. We hear those critique and think, yes, isn't it great? Isn't it great the Bible's full of contradiction? Isn't it great the Bible's wrong about certain things? And when we're speaking of the Bible being full of contradictions, when we're speaking of the Bible containing error, what we're really speaking of is, I'm full of contradictions. I am full of error. Isn't it great to be alive? And when we will allow tension to exist, it can be our teacher. And it is, generally speaking, the more difficult path, particularly at Thanksgiving. Can a brother get an amen? I have that uncle too. Yeah. But when we will allow the tension to exist, we can deepen relationship. We can deepen community. We can experience healing, salvation. Ah, it is awful, isn't it? What a gift. Yeah. One of the great dynamic tensions in our scripture is the concept of structure and spirit. By other words, a form and function. Okay. Now, generally speaking, in the West, maybe even most specifically in America, structure is celebrated. Most structure, mo better. Okay. For example, the proverb that you likely know, it doesn't matter where the graduate was from, but supposedly the graduate was from some fancy school of economics. It doesn't matter where, but we'll just make one up, Raw School of Business. Okay, and the Raw School of Business graduate was down there in a tropical location. Doesn't that sound great? Man, let's all take some vacation time. Yeah, if you're not going to amen to that, you won't amen to anything all morning, and that's just fine. Okay, the graduate was down in a tropical location and decided, I'm going to charter a boat and I'm take my family fishing. And sure enough, they chartered a private boat, and they caught some fish, something that I could never do. They took some pictures that made it to the Instagram story. They had a wonderful time. The ship captain was just fabulous in hosting them and enabling them to catch fish and just have a wonderful day. They got back there to the pier, back to the marina, and escorted the family off the boat, and the ship captain, the owner, operator of the boat, hopped directly from the boat onto a hammock that he had set up right there on the pier. He climbed into his hammock and began his normal afternoon siesta. Now, the Rawls College of Business graduate said to the owner, operator, rester, he said, "Man, you really provided us with a fabulous afternoon. These fish are just beautiful. We're going to have a wonderful dinner this evening. Everything you did for us and our family today, it was just fabulous. Thank you so much." And owner operator doesn't even open his eyes and says, "You're welcome." The fancy college graduate said, you know, "You're so good at this. We could work together. I'm connected with some capital back stateside, and we'd like to invest in hardworking, talented people like you. And if we invested in you, you could buy a few more boats. You could hire a more of a crew, and they could take out your clients, and they could show people how to fish. They could show people how to take pictures to put on their Instagram story, and we could really build up a big business here in the." Owner, operator, rester in his hammock didn't even open his eyes and says, "Oh, why would I do that?" And the man from Texas says, "Well, of course, if we worked really hard for long enough, you could make enough money that you could retire early, and then you'd have more time to fish for fun, and you'd have more time to rest and enjoy your family." And the owner operator, laying in his hammock enjoying his afternoon siesta, didn't even open his eyes and said, "You mean I could do all the things I'm doing right now?" Yeah. So often, particularly in America, particularly in the developed West, there is the concept that more structure is mo better. David, King David, embodies the American way quite well. David says to the prophet, David says to the Spirit of the Lord, "I will build a house for you, and it will be as great as the house that I have built for myself." And as we just encountered, the Lord responds to such sentiment and says, "You know, for the last several hundred years, I haven't had a house. And I've done quite well. I've shared grace and love and deliverance and salvation with all of the people. I have delivered my people out of Egypt. And I have commissioned these people in this new space to be a blessing to all of the land." Yeah. So this is the tension, right? Because I'm pro-structure. Yeah, structure can be good. We go to church on Sundays. And I don't care if those girls are naked or clothed. They're coming. Not Allison. Okay? We're that kind of family. We're that kind of family. Discipline and structure, right, can help us get in the way of the Spirit. It's a good thing. I'm pro-structure. Structure can be a good thing. Isn't it great to have a building? Isn't it great to have a building that's paid off? Thank you. Structure can be so helpful. Yeah, and structure's help. When we were broke, we're rich now, but when we were broke, in premarital counseling, our pastor said, you guys need a plan for your financial life. When we were in premarital counseling, you need a plan. You need structure for your and so we learned of Dave Ramsey, right? And we committed to one another. We would give 10% first to the church. We would give 10% to our savings. We would live on 80%. And structure has been very helpful to us in our financial lives. And I can tell you, I sit down with a lot of couples preparing to get married. And if you just lay that structure out in front of them, they will look like you. They will look at you like you are insane. Right? It's the same thing. It's the same thing for the gym. You ever meet somebody who's they're interested in maybe getting fit? They're interested in maybe kind of upping their health and their wellness. Okay, one of the worst things you can ever do to a person like that is invite them to the gym. Yeah, well, you are good looking people, and there's a lot of good looking people at the gym. You know, and I've been to the gym, and I'm like, man, I don't look like any of these people. It's an awful thing to go to the gym, right? Yeah, structure sometimes isn't all that helpful. Yeah. I want all of you to be involved in the structure of this church. I think the structure of faith, the structure of religion at its best is wonderful and beautiful. And you walk across the street and invite your neighbor to church. In today's world, there is a high probability that they will not invite you to the barbecue next Friday. Because for many in our world, the structure of religion is not a good thing. Right? And so what these, our friends, our brothers, our sisters, and our neighbors, what your co-workers may need is not more structure, but what they need is the function of the Spirit to flow through you. They don't need to be invited to a church. I'm pro-church. I'm pro-church attendance. But there are many, at least in the space in which they are now, right, where what their hearts and souls and bodies and lives need is for you to buy them coffee, for you to stop at their desk, say, how are you doing, and then not say another word for another 15 minutes. And that is as much ministry. That is as much the presence of Christ flowing through you. That is as much the glory of God present within and around you as anything that we can do here. Yeah. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference as to when more structure might be helpful and when it might not be helpful. And I think this particular tension reveals a deep truth in our scriptures. It's a fabulous truth. David says, I will build the temple. David says, I will build the temple. David believes that his legacy will be the centralization, will be the tremendous economic and even militaristic victory that the people of Israel enjoy under and by his leadership. And he has built this wonderful home for himself. He believes his legacy will be this structure. And the voice of the Lord says, no. What are you building? What are you growing? What are you fostering that won't be yours to finish? Yeah, let me say it again. What are you growing? What are you investing in? What are you building? What are you fostering? And maybe you, like David, are getting the sense, you know, I'm not going to be the one to finish this. Yeah. I'm not going to be the one. David thinks his legacy will be of structure, and I at least believe that his legacy is of faith despite all of his failures. David's legacy is the faith that he passes on despite all of the failures in his life and in his leadership. And this is just a beautiful aspect. Certainly our scripture says, good soil, good seed. Sow your good seed into good soil and you will reap. You will in harvest good crop, right? Certainly, it's beautiful. And yet there is also, as sort of the Corinthian letter presents it, says that which is sown perishable will be reaped imperishable. That which we might begin will be taken and given greater form to. Our word for this is resurrection. That which begins so human, so full of error and contradiction, will, in the power and in the presence of Christ, will be grown into that which is bigger. What are you growing? What are you building? What are you investing in? What are you working on? What are you fostering? And it may be with you, with that, yeah, you're not going to finish it. And because our God, who makes all things new and makes all things better, it will be so much more. So much more. A member of our church who worked for Microsoft shared this with me, and I'm captivated. It said that a young Mary Maxwell Gates used to drive around her young son William with her on the March of Dimes across the Pacific Northwest, asking people to chip in a dime to, of course, combat polio and other childhood difficulties. Yeah, it was as a child, Bill Gates's mother drove her around collecting dimes. In the same sense, Melinda, who grew up in the richness of the Roman Catholic faith, as a child, her parents encouraged them, and those of you who are in that sort of space in life too, forced them to give a dime every time they received or earned a dollar. You see, it is as children that Melinda and Bill, and we pray for them, we pray for all who encounter divorce and the difficulties of what it means to be alive and to be in relationship in today's world. But it is Melinda and Bill Gates who gave away over $30 billion in 27 years of marriage. It is what they learned with dimes that was later exemplified with billions. What an incredible legacy. What an incredible legacy when we start with what we are fostering, what we are growing, what we are building. And when it is given to that power which is greater, our dimes turn into, yeah. On a similar note, in 1994, Herman McKenzie of Chicago, Illinois, passed quietly, humbly, and in his will, he left such generous gifts. He, in fact, left $4 billion to the south side of Chicago and various organizations working in that part of the city. He left $10 billion to the National Forest System, a wonderful organization here in our country. He left, maybe you remember reading this in the paper, he left $6 trillion to pay down the national debt. Well, and when the lawyers and when the probate court began to distribute his will, it turned out that the only asset he actually owned was a 1983 Oldsmobile. It's incredible. And at surface value, it looks so empty. And yet, his will was not about numbers or dollars. His will was about joy. Yeah. That which we are building, that which we are creating, that which we are growing and fostering, it will be passed on to the next generation who take up the tradition, whether it is with dimes or whether it is with billions. Let it be that we pass it along to them with generosity and with joy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear our prayer. If I can be of help to you now or at your convenience, I would be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
Let's pray together. Loving Father and God, thank you for your anointing spirit, which brings us peace and healing and hope. You have promised us a heavenly home, and yet today, through our relationship with you and with our family and with believers and friends, we have an earthly home that you have built upon faith and girded with your everlasting spirit that encourages, that inspires, that heals, and forgives. For that, we say thank you. Bless these tithes that we offer today, but also, loving Father, bless our lives in service to you and to your kingdom. We lift up our neighbors in Leveland, Father, and for the deep sorrow and tragedy and loss that they are experiencing today. And in their grief, Father, will you grant them a peace that passes any understanding we may or may not have. Father, place our hope in what matters most and what lasts. Knowing, good God, that you hear us better than we speak, we offer these prayers in your most holy name. Amen.
Let's stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
That will fade, but it is the generosity, the joy, the Spirit of Christ by which there is no end. May that Spirit go with you this week, my friends. God bless you.